Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Experience Our Industry podcast. I'm Dr. Brian Greenwood, and I am super excited to be here today with Nikki Jackson. How are you, Nikki?
I'm doing great. Doing great over here. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, it's so great to see you. Nikki is calling in all the way from Henderson, Nevada, and we'll talk in a minute about my connection to Henderson, Nevada. But Nikki has a really exciting position. She is event coordinator at a small little place you may have heard of called Allegiant Stadium, which some of you are going, what? I haven't heard of that, but the sports fans out there know Allegiant Stadium because we just saw Allegiant in the Super Bowl. So we'll get to talk some Super Bowl here in a second. Very, very exciting, Nikki.
Yes, I'm super excited to be a part of the podcast and talk about my experience.
Yeah, of course. So let's get to know you a little bit better, Nikki. Tell us where did you grow up?
So I was born here in Las Vegas and then was born and raised in Henderson, Nevada, all the way up until I went to Cal Poly and then ended up moving back. So, you know, a Las Vegas native, happy to be here and happy to come back.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so I guess I should tell them about my connection or me and Dr. Rue's connection. Dr. Rue's mom and some of her family live there in Henderson, Nevada. And Dr. Rue actually spent part of her childhood in Henderson, Nevada as well. And so Henderson has a special place in our heart. And Nikki, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we have a little bit of a Henderson pipeline with volleyball, right? Isn't there a volleyball connection there?
Yes, there definitely is. Are you talking about for as in club or?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, I mean, I know volleyball is huge. I'm obviously bearing the lead that you played volleyball, right? That you're a volleyball gal. But I think, isn't Tommy a current player?
Yeah, Tommy.
From Henderson also?
Yeah, she is. She's from Las Vegas. And it's actually pretty crazy because she played for the same club I did. She's just a couple years younger, but I didn't even know her until she went to Cal Poly.
So, oh, no way.
Yeah, it's wild. Like Vegas is small, but it's also so big. Yeah. But it's just great how like our paths like crossed.
That is really wild. That is really wild. So tell us what did your parents do while you were growing up? Of course, it wasn't that long ago, but you know.
My dad is a firefighter for Henderson.
Oh, right. So he's
been doing that. He's been on for 30 plus years and he's still going, doesn't want to retire. He loves what he does. And then my mom worked in the dental field forever. So, you know, great thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's very, very cool. And what about siblings?
So just one older sister, we're pretty close in age, 19 months apart, but she works for Las Vegas Metro and she does investigation work for them.
No way.
Yeah. She has a pretty interesting job.
I bet she does. Oh my goodness. So, so kind of followed in dad's footsteps with the public service there, eh?
Definitely. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. That is wild. Very cool. Well, tell us, obviously I already buried this, but tell us about growing up. You were a sports gal, right? And was it always volleyball? Did you know from an early age or did you play other sports?
I definitely played other sports. You know, I think growing up, my mom and my dad both wanted to expose us to different things and kind of pick and choose what we wanted to do. But from an early age, I was always a soccer girl, like soccer all the way up until I think it was my eighth grade year when I made the transition. Okay. So my sister transitioned to volleyball first, and then I was like, I want to try it.
Nice.
So I transitioned to volleyball and absolutely loved it. I thought that, you know, that was my sport. That's what I wanted to pursue in college. So yeah, it was great, but had a lot of different sports growing up, but volleyball is definitely the one I wanted to pursue.
Wow. So that late a transition to volleyball and to still get a D1 scholarship, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty amazing, Nikki. that's really impressive. And you know, I think it's, I really do think it's so valuable to play lots of different sports. I feel like it makes you, it makes you better at the one sport that you you end up focusing on, you know, to play lots of different ones. Do you agree with that? Do you feel like soccer helped you?
Oh, totally. I think, you know, just the footwork in general that you learn from soccer, it easily translated to volleyball. So there's things that you can take from other sports that, you know, relate to other ones and help you with that transition. So it's very valuable.
Love it. Love it. So now I call this our glory day segment. You get to brag a little bit about your proudest accomplishment before you got to Cal Poly. Is there something that really stands out?
Yes. So Vegas being like growing up, you know, we're not really known for volleyball. It was always kind of California, right? You know,
right.
You have like Gulf Beach, they have the indoor. So California was kind of like the hot spot for volleyball. But growing up, you know, we kind of wanted to make Vegas known for something. So I went to Coronado High School, which is in Henderson. And my sophomore year, we ended up winning state. We were the complete underdogs, you know, like going into the semifinal game, we actually lost the first two sets and then came back and did a reverse sweep on them.
Ended up going into
the championship game and did the same thing in the championship game. Everyone's like, you're giving us a heart attack.
I bet.
Yeah, we won state my sophomore year, my junior year, and my senior year. So we had three back-to-back-to-backs.
Yeah. You did a three-peat in high school? Well, that's a pretty big, glory days brag. I love that. That is
Awesome. So that was my proudest moment for sure. You know, like newspapers. It was so great. That was the best moment.
I bet. And you know, I know from experience being there in Henderson, sports are pretty big and like a really well-funded like recreation program. And they do well by their sports in Henderson. And for those who don't know, Henderson's just like 15 minutes outside of Las Vegas. I mean, even if that, I mean, it's greater Las Vegas essentially. And but yeah, that's cool. I love that. So tell us then about the recruiting process. I mean, three-time state champion. But were there any that went to Cal Poly before you from your high school, or did you kind of start the trend with that three-peat there?
Yeah, definitely one from my school went to Cal Poly. Although I did have one good friend, she actually did, and she did I think it was engineering. Oh no, architecture. So Kelly Whiteman, she did architecture, but she was like one of my sister's best friends.
Okay.
And she absolutely like loved Cal Poly and she was raving about it. But I had no idea until like I finally committed there that she even went there.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a small little connection. I was actually on my recruit visit and saw her in downtown SLO. So we kind of reconnected there.
That's cool.
But the recruiting process was kind of crazy, you know. I had other schools that were interested in as well. But it was just kind of like going on all those recruit visits with those various schools and kind of picking and choosing and having that feeling of like, is this where I'm supposed to be? And it was kind of late in the year. Like I went on tons of visits and I just wasn't satisfied, I guess, with either what they had to offer or the location. Mm-hmm. And I kind of verbally committed to just stay at home and play at UNLV.
Yeah.
And I had one last tournament, I think, as my senior year for high school. And I was reached out to by the assistant coach of Cal Poly. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, like, we want to get you out here. We saw videos of you, like, saw you in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, well, I'm supposed to sign in a week. But he flew me out the next day, went on a visit, and I was like, this is where I'm supposed to be. I knew instantly.
I love it.
Yeah. It's awesome. Kind of last minute, but yeah, Cal Poly was the best choice ever.
I love it. Most people don't realize that, well, I guess, I mean, people that have made the trip do, but I mean, it's not that bad a drive. I mean, we drive it a few times a year, and I actually kind of like the drive. We have like our spots, you know, where we stop and all that, but it's not that bad a drive. You just have to
No,
make sure
not
you
bad at
don't
all.
get traffic in and out of Vegas. That's the big thing, right? So
Yes.
we're pretty meticulous about that. Like avoid EDM, like that, or not EDM. What's the big the big festival, the big EDM festival?
Oh, EDC.
EDC. Yeah,
Yep.
avoid that, right?
Don't go near Vegas when that's happening.
Yeah, right. You don't want to be leaving at like 11 o'clock the morning after that ends, right? That would be trouble.
Nope.
But anyway, so let's talk about your experience here in San Luis Obispo. Now, did you have to adjust to the heat? Were you like cold all the time in San Luis Obispo, or what? Or did you
I
like it?
definitely was.
You were.
Definitely was a shock factor my freshman year. I think to my freshman year, they had like, it was historically like the greatest rainfall that you've had in years.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah. And I played sand my first year too. And so we played in the rain like every single day. And I was like, why is it
What is
raining
going
so
on?
much? It was crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was honestly, now looking back at it, like the weather was beautiful. Like
Right.
me and my friends would go to the beach when it was 65, and that sounds so cold, but it's actually warm down there.
Yeah. It's wild, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah,
It's
well, I
crazy.
remember going like the very first year. I think it was the first year we started the beach program, and we went out to Pismo to see Shannon Fouts play, and my kids were like younger, you know, and so they were like, "What are we doing, Daddy?" And I'm like, "We're going to see beach volleyball. We got to see Shannon, you know." And we get down there, and it's like the wind is blowing so hard, and it's so freezing cold, and I'm like, so the kids are like bundled up under like towels, you know. It was wild. I could not believe anyone was playing volleyball on that beach. I was so impressed with how amazing all of those women were hitting the ball through that wind. I was like, there's no way I could do that, you know. But anyway, I have a great deal of respect for you all. Let's talk a little bit about your time, a little bit more about your time here at Cal Poly. Is there an enduring memory that stands out? I mean, I know we're gonna eventually get to how it ended, but before that ending, any enduring memories that stand out?
Yes, I mean, there was so many memories. I mean, just as like a student, like my time there was fantastic. But taking it back to sports, because it was kind of a full circle moment for me. When we won the Big West Conference Championship at Cal Poly both year 2017 and 2018. So doing another little back to back there, it was just like reliving my high school glory days. And I was like, what are the odds? Like, no one gets to experience those things.
I know. Wow, that had to be pretty special, and that speaks a lot to you that you are a winner, you know. So I love that. I love that. What about like professional development? Is there something that you did? You know, obviously, Cal Poly believes very strongly in learn by doing. But I'm sure that you can attest, like many NCAA Division I athletes, a lot of your time is taken up in volleyball. But is there something that you were able to do either in the summers or at some point where you feel like you look back on that professional development experience and you think, oh, wow, that really helped me?
Yeah, so I think having like the 1,000 hours a part of the curriculum and being able to meet that was really crucial because it forced us to get out and make time even when my time was so limited. You know, on weekends when I was like, hey, I have a day off, I'm just gonna go do this, go volunteer, go do something. But I think what really pushed me into the first start of it was being a part of the Wildflower Experience in Paso Robles.
Oh, yeah.
So I believe her name was Ellie Fredrickson. She got me into that, and being a part of that was unbelievable. We went out there on weekends and camped, set up for the triathlon. Like, it was absolutely amazing.
You
And
must
that
have
was,
been one of the last classes to do that, eh? Because it did.
yeah, I think we were the last one.
Yeah, I was gonna say you must have been the last one. I'm like shocked when you said wildflower. I was like, no way. Was it still going on? So that mm-hmm. was in like 2017 or something like that.
Yep.
Yep. Wow.
It was the last year. And then I think like the lake, they were like, it's too shallow now. So we can't do that anymore.
Well, it was probably that historic rain that you're talking about. It was probably fine then. And then the next year we had no rain whatsoever. And
dry.
They had to shut it down. Yeah, that's wild. We had such a great legacy out there at Wildflower. Mm-hmm. And so many people that I've talked to on the podcast have mentioned Wildflower and what a great experience it was.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the post, we'll talk about it. You're one of those 2020 graduates, and I'm not trying to to say that we shouldn't talk about it. I mean, we should, but it's a very difficult thing to talk mm-hmm. about. So what was it like? So I'll let you talk about it. What was it like graduating in the midst of a global pandemic, Nikki?
I mean, it was pretty crazy because I actually was in my internship my spring quarter. So I was doing that with the Carson Butler twins. So I was doing that with them, and that was amazing. But it was kind of weird at the same time because everything was remote and we didn't really have events. We were just rescheduling things. So it was a bit weird, and it was even harder, you know, graduating during that time because I ended up moving back home after graduation, and there was nothing. There was absolutely no event jobs. There was like everyone was on a hiring freeze. So it was kind of hard just like mentally being like, well, what am I supposed to do? Am I ever going to get into the field that I want to? Is it going to come back? What is it going to look like? How is it going to be different?
Yeah.
But at that time, you know, I was applying to so many jobs, probably 50 a day, but I was so motivated.
Yeah.
I was so motivated. I was like, I am not going to sit around all summer. I need a job, and I'm going to take anything that comes.
Right. So, right. That's that work ethic you were taught by your parents there. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it led me into my first job of like wealth management, which is totally way off of what I studied.
Right.
But it was great. You know, I made the most out of it, and it was like the best first job I could have ever asked for.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, as a 20 something learning about finance and learning about equity and how to build it and all of that, that must have been really eye opening. I imagine from a professional development experience, I'll tell you, Nikki, I really wish my first job had been that had been private equity. You know, that would have been great for me. I probably wouldn't be talking to you right now, but no,
right?
I'm kidding. So that led into a position with the city of Henderson, and working as a site lead for cultural arts and special events. Is that right? Tell us about how you got that position and what that position was like.
Yeah. So, I mean, going from my wealth management job, you know, I kind of figured out pretty early on, and when the world started becoming normal again and events were coming back, I was like, you know, I think my passion's in events. I'm going to try to go back to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, like my whole family, obviously really involved with the government in that. So I was like, let me try to get a government job. You know, there's good benefits. Events would be great. So I got in there, and it was actually down on Water Street. It's in like downtown Henderson.
Uh-huh.
So my office was down there, and
Is that down Old Henderson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Old Henderson.
Yeah.
So we did events for the community, and like did like the St. Patrick's Day Festival, like small little things like that, you know.
Right.
But in the back of my mind, like I was always like, I'm meant for something bigger. I want to do large scale events.
Yeah.
So it was like, I guess my time here was short and sweet, and I learned a lot, but so I ended up in that one too a couple months later.
Yeah. So you went from St. Patrick's Day festivals in city of Henderson to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
A little bit bigger. Just a little bit bigger.
At the perfect time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So let's talk about that transition and how you got the position. A lot of our current students you know, and also alumni for that matter, who are interested in sport management. They always like hearing about how you got, you know, how people got their positions in sport, mm-hmm. because it is very competitive, obviously.
Very.
And yes. So tell us about that process.
Yeah. So kind of looking at everywhere where because I wanted to go back into public and live events and entertainment and things like that. And I've always been a fan of music and also the sports side of it. So I kind of was looking for a job that encompassed both of those components. And, you know, like if you're on the football side of it, you're only doing Raider games. Absolutely. So that's when I was like, well, I want to be on the stadium side of things because I get exposed to everything, like the private events, football, concerts. So I saw ASM Global. They're like, they own like all the stadiums across the entire country. So saw a position online as an event coordinator. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a while after I applied. I think it was like 3 months. And I was like, mm-hmm. what's taking so long? Why haven't I heard anything back?
Right.
And I kind of did something, you know, most people wouldn't do, but now I recommend it to everyone because I'm like, well, okay. Yeah, it can go one of two ways. It can go great or it won't, and they just won't respond. Right. So I was looking on LinkedIn of people who were associated with ASM Global, and I was like, well, I'm just going to reach out to the person at the top. Uh-huh. So I actually sent a message to the general manager uh-huh. of Allegiant at the time, and I was like, hey, I applied for this job. I was just wondering if it's still open. Like I just haven't heard anything back from HR, but I'm super, super interested in working here. Like would love to connect and talk with you. And he invited me in for an interview and it was great. Like I surpassed all of the HR interviews and he just set it up for me. So that's it awesome. Was fantastic. Like he was the most amazing guy ever. So it's really, really great. Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, do you still have a connection with him today? Or are you guys still connected? And
yes. So he was there for like, I think the first year. He left this past month to take a different opportunity. Oh. He didn't tell us, but, you know, our speculation is that he's opening up a new facility. Don't know where.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because he opened up Allegiant Stadium in 2020. Right. So
right.
That's what we believe, but we're still connected and he's great. And he's been like the best mentor to me. So.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And yeah, in the stadium and the stadium world, or I should say the event space world or the venue world, opening up a facility is a huge thing to put on your resume because mm-hmm. that's where you hang your hat. And I love that you brought up the whole thing about sports and entertainment and being on the facility side. Mm-hmm. Allowed you to do both. And, you know, I remember Dr. Hendricks and I helped to organize a trip to what was the Staples Center at the time. And this was back in the mid-2000s. And we took like 20 students and half of them were event planning students. And you should have seen their eyes when they realized like, I could plan a Beyonce concert on one day and then Lakers the next day, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing. And that's really what it is when you're on a stadium side. And obviously with Allegiant there in Vegas, like, it's like, I mean, it's not 365, but it's a lot of events, I would imagine.
Yes, it is. It's a lot of events.
Yeah. So tell us first of all, now you started as a special projects coordinator and now you're mm-hmm. an event coordinator. So mm-hmm. tell us about the process and how you go about either A, signing up or B, them assigning you the different events. How does that work?
Yeah. So as far as events go, we kind of are split in a reason like for our department. So, you know, mm-hmm. we have a group of just private event people. So those mm-hmm. managers basically handle like the sold out stadium events for private companies like Google, Workday, mm-hmm. Cisco. So they handle all the private event sides. And then we have a split of people who are doing concerts. Mm-hmm. And then we have UNLV and Raiders. Mm-hmm. So there's a kind of like a couple different avenues of mm-hmm. like what you want to pick. But as a coordinator, it's pretty great because we kind of get exposed to everything. So we're essentially under the managers, but like I was helping on this last concert this past weekend with Twice, which is a K-pop group. So just getting exposure to every single different lane, I think is really, really important. But with this upcoming year, I'm actually stepping into the UNLV position. So I'll be running all UNLV games. But like I said, we all work together. So I'll still be on for Raiders and concerts, but I will be like the head POC for UNLV games at the stadium.
Awesome. And you know, I quite honestly, Nikki, I did not even realize UNLV was a tenant.
They play all of their games there.
What games do they play there? All football?
All of their football games. So they don't have their own facility at the college itself. Mm-hmm. They used to play at Sam Boyd, was a little old, I think, and run down. So we actually took them in, and that was part of the deal with the stadium is that we would have them as our tenant. But people love it. Our locals love coming to the stadium and watching them. And it's a crazy experience for the players as well.
I am sure. Yeah, that is really wild. I love it. So let's talk a little bit about that day to day. Right. I think it's kind of fun to imagine yourself. And obviously, that's one of the really cool things about events is that mm-hmm. the day is the same. But I'm curious about, you know, we're talking now. You're not at the stadium right now. Like, what's your day to day? What's your week to week look like?
So it's pretty standard of like the Monday through Friday I'm in the office. But our boss is super great about like if we have events on the weekend. So this past Saturday, we had the Twice concert. Uh-huh. So if we work a Saturday, she'll still give us like that 2-day period of having it off. So yeah. I would have the Sunday and Monday off. So right now I am currently home. And that's kind of just to help with like the work-life balance because we are working so many hours. But if we don't have events at weekends, it's the standard like Monday through Friday, but they're pretty lenient on like we don't have to clock in and clock out. And if we don't have like a ton of work, like we can leave work an hour early, which is super nice too. They're like, we work a ton of hours. So, you know, if it's a slow period, like take some time off.
So I think that's an important thing to ask you about since you brought it up, I've been trying to bring it up more because I think, you know, work-life balance, obviously, you know, I try to say it every time we talk about it. It is a privilege thing, right? It is. Mm-hmm. Something that that we do have privilege to be able to talk about, right? A lot of people around the world don't really get to think about work-life balance because they're thinking about survival, right? And but I think particularly in our field, right, with sports and events, and you know it can be sort of all-encompassing, and you can kind of wear yourself down and get burned out if you're not careful. You know, because we're working when people are playing a lot of times, right? And and so what do you do to maintain that balance? Talk to us about
So right now we're kind of in our slow period. And you know, when it ramps up, like summer we'll have a lot of concerts and then we get into football season. And like those are kind of our back-to-back days where we'll have UNLV and then Raiders the next day. So a lot of weekends I am working during the busy season. And I think, you know, that's kind of important to know when getting in this industry, like you do have to work those weekends, but you also want to make sure that like on the days that you do have off of just doing your normal things that like make you happy and like get back into things of, you know, like what's going to calm me down. And I think on my days off, you know, I like to do things that reset me kind of for the week and making sure that I am going to that gym because that's kind of like a release for me is like working out. So just really prioritizing things when you have your downtime and making sure like time management, like that's probably the biggest tool within this industry. So
right. Yeah. Now, are you able to play some recreation volleyball so you can still tattoo Wilson on people's foreheads or what?
I actually haven't really been playing that much.
Play much?
And, no. Yeah. It's kind of sad because I thought that I would. And I mean, yeah. I still miss volleyball, but yeah. I just don't really have time for it sometimes.
Yeah, I bet. Well, let's talk about the Super Bowl. I think a lot of people, of course, want to hear about that. Now, I don't even know. Were you working it directly, or were you? What was it like? And if you can, explain to us a little bit about the. So for me, I'll tell you about me. So for me. If I was working in a position like yours, I don't think I would like the anxiety leading up to big events like that, right? Whereas I think some people who thrive in events and love events, and I know this from talking to Amber Carson and others, you know, they thrive on it. Like the excitement leading up to it is something that makes their life more meaningful, and they get jazzed up about it, right? For me, mm-hmm. No, I don't like it. I would rather not have that have that in my life, right? But I get it, right? Because like for me right now, I'm back coaching my son Babe Ruth baseball, right? Mm-hmm. And I love it. I thrive. Like being a coach is like I just thrive on it, right? And so, like, we've got a game tomorrow night, and I'm, like, so looking forward to that, right? So that anxiety is different and leading up to an event. So talk to us a little bit, if you can, about something as immense as a Super Bowl and what all went into that and how that, like, do you have to have a special, not gene, but a special switch or a special something for live events? What is that, Nikki?
So it's kind of interesting. And, you know, Super Bowl was kind of like a one-off event for us where it's like we didn't really know what to expect, right? Because we've never had one before. Right. So we were kind of treating it as like one of our Raider games, but just with like higher security, higher entertainment, like the people who are coming in, like just a higher clientele. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what our team based it off of. And, you know, it was interesting too, because we're used to running everything in our stadium, right? Like we know how everything works, but the NFL essentially like came in and they were like, these are our plans. And we were kind of just like the backbone for them. But a lot of it was kind of hands off for us. So, you know, they were the ones making like the final decisions and doing like the run of show and things of that nature. But yeah, we were kind of there just to support them and be there for them on the process, and then obviously help them with like our internal operations and things of that nature.
So you could just get jazzed up for the experience. Was that kind of what it was then?
Yeah. So actually my role on Super Bowl day, I was escorting essentially like our VIPs down on the field. Like that was my job.
Were you like hanging out with Tom Brady and you got to take Tom Brady down on the field? So who was
not Tom Brady, but I took some VIP people.
Can you tell us the VIPs that you...
So we had some in a couple different sections. I think there was a couple actors and some of the other pens that were working down on the field. I had Mr. Beast in mine. He's like a really well-known YouTuber and influencer.
Oh, I know Mr. Beast. I'm not that old, Nikki. I know.
And then I had the CEO of Apple down in my field too. So it was pretty cool to have him down there. But
you had a section that you had to escort them down to.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was my job. And then basically after that, so that went all the way up until kickoff. And then once kickoff, they all went back up to their suites. But after that, I was basically just watching the game the entire time.
Yeah. Could you just rove? You're just roving.
Yeah.
With a headset on, like dressed up, like what was the deal? You had your lanyard and your earpiece and all that.
Correct. Nice. Yeah, that's nice. The exact fit.
I love it. That's awesome. So, and you know, I think that's an important thing too, Nikki, is like some people get really jazzed about that aspect, right? Of being able to and for good reason, right? I mean, like, you're talking one of the newest, most advanced stadiums in the world, and to be able to go anywhere you want, right? And to have like a headset on and to hear the inner workings of it all. That's a super exciting thing. And to do that with the Super Bowl, I imagine that was pretty fun.
Yes. I mean, looking back at it, it's like, it's an unreal experience because, you know, like people dream about going to the Super Bowl. It's like for years of just watching it on TV and then being able to experience it in person, it's so different.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like I tell people, I was like, it's basically a football game. It just has entertainment.
Lots of entertainment.
Tickets are so expensive and suites are so expensive.
You got paid to be there.
Yes.
People paid thousands and thousands of dollars to be there and you got paid to be there. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It was wild. It was great. Definitely. Yeah. I was like, who even knows if it'll come back to Vegas, but it was like a once in a lifetime thing for sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, you know, if you work there long enough, you'll probably see another one. I imagine it was a successful Super Bowl. So I imagine it'll be coming back to Las Vegas at some point. But so let's talk a little bit about that too. You know, I think it's an interesting thing, Nikki, that you know, when you think about your office, like, where's your office? Well, my office is Allegiant Stadium, right? And that's a pretty cool thing, right? When you think about all the places, I remember like my one of my buddies who worked for IBM, and I went to his office once, and I was like, oh my God, dude, this is the most dreary, awful place. Like, this cubicle in this like brick building in the middle of a field, like, God, this is awful, right? I wouldn't want to ever come here, you know?
Yes.
But Allegiant Stadium, right? Or like name any stadium in the world, right? To get to go to, that's gotta be pretty cool. Does it feel pretty cool scanning your badge every time you walk in?
It does, yeah. And it's basically like TSA every single morning we walk through, right? Because we have to put our bag through the x-ray and things of that nature. But it's really surreal, honestly. Like, we get to do so many things, and it's not like we're at our desk from the 9 to 5 either. Like, we'll walk around the stadium. We always have things going on. Like, for events, we get fed meals. So, you know, like the day before a big event, we'll all have a family meal essentially, and we're just like eating in the stadium, and our chefs are providing the food, and we get a lot of perks, and they treat us really well. So it's honestly a blessing.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. So let's talk a little bit more about the facility side. You know, you probably don't know this, but I used to teach a facilities class. So I used to teach RPTA 350, which was Recreation Areas and Facility Management, right?
Okay.
And so we would do, you know, it was risk management and we do HVAC and we do all kinds of different things. And students, quite honestly, Nikki, they hated it because, I mean, you know, if you're not interested in facilities, that side is a little bit boring to you. But what I want to pose to you is, has this experience in working in a facility, has that gotten you more interested in the mechanics of it all, right? Like, obviously, you're on the event side, but it's important to know, you know, all of the different spaces and how it all functions together. And there's lots of different crews on the mechanical side that make it work, and you have to be able to talk that language. Am I right? Have you learned a lot?
Yes, most definitely. I mean, like, for events that we're planning, we have to know exactly what department is in charge of everything. Like, for a Raiders game, what engineering is taking, like what they're doing. So bringing in the field tray, what power our client needs, like for certain activations, it's down to the nitty gritty. And being able to have all of those departments within the stadium is really nice, because I can just go walk down to engineering and being like, hey, what do we need for this? And how is the event going to run smoothly? So it's really nice to know everything that takes place. And that definitely helps with like future events too, of like, what does this client need? How is this going to translate to other needs? And our operations team is great too, of like converting the field and putting in the stage. And it's just like so much collaboration within each department. It really makes like what our events so successful. And it's great because I've learned so much, and there's a ton for me to learn still.
Right. Does it make your head spin sometimes thinking about like what it takes to go from twice like K-pop concert to like, you know, a football game the next, you know, a couple days later?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, yeah. Our operation guys, they're so amazing. Like,
yeah.
When we have those events of UNLV and then Raiders the next day, they're taking out the entire turf and then bringing in the field tray. And that's, it's a long process, and they're there all night.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same with concerts of like, they load out in one night too. And it's crazy, but our team is wild.
Yeah. I was going to say,
like, no sleep.
Yeah. Right. Like, I can't even fathom. Like, I love seeing those, like, where they have the camera on it and they speed it up, like call that.
The time lapse.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. Those time lapses are pretty cool. To see it all take shape. And, you know, I remember when we were at Staples Center and they were like, oh yeah, we've had basketball games in the morning and then hockey at night. And I'm like, I can't even fathom how you can possibly do that. Like, it doesn't even make sense. That done in one, you know, in like, I mean, we're talking like really, really short windows, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it Staples Center was set up to do. It's a multi-sport, multifaceted arena, and obviously mm-hmm. Allegiant and these new stadiums. You know, we've gone past the days where you could just have football, right?
Yes.
You have to have live events. You have to have entertainment in order to be able to pay the bills for these things. Because we're talking billions of dollars, like, to get it. To get it running, and so and to keep it running, and so you got to bring in a lot of revenue. So thank you so much for sharing about all these experiences, Nikki. This has been so much fun. Let's end with this. If you could go back in time and give your junior year self some advice, what advice do you think you would give yourself?
Oh gosh. Probably, I mean, for me looking back now, I think it's really important to realize, like, it's okay to not know exactly what you want to do in those years. I mean, I still didn't know exactly what I wanted to do when I graduated. Right. And I think it's important too, because there's like so many parameters placed on our age group, right? Of like, oh, you need to come out, you need to get a high paying job, you need to be successful, get your own house. Like, and that's not really important. Like, what's important is making sure that you are happy and you do love going to your job every single day. And if you don't like it, just quit and find a new one. Like, that's honestly my best advice. And
right.
We're too young to be like dreading going into work, you know? So I think it's important to find something that you really love doing and pursue that.
Yeah. You know, I really appreciate that. I mean, I grew up in the era, with, you know, with parents and grandparents that came from a different age, a different time period. Right. And I saw work more as misery. Like, I saw a lot of people who looked at work more as just a means to an end, right? Yeah. And liking your job, like, what the hell does that mean, right? Like, that didn't really come into the equation, right?
No.
Hard work meant hard work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was what you were doing to put food on the table and put a roof over people's heads, right? That's kind of what it was. That was the mentality. And I appreciate that. I don't know, maybe it was my generation pushing back on that a little bit that started to change it. But I think millennials and your generation, Nikki, I think have continued down that thread of realizing that, hey, look, you should enjoy your job. You should appreciate what you're doing and have fun. And, you know, I just think about you every day, clocking in there at, not clocking in, going to Allegiant Stadium and doing the scanning your badge, and such a cool feeling. Like, whenever I'm up in, in San Francisco and I go to Oracle Park, you know, like seeing the people with their badges, I'm like, see those people, they're always smiling because it's like, I'm going to work at Oracle Park. This is pretty cool, you know, and you're going to work at Allegiant Stadium, right? One of the coolest facilities in the world. And so that's really awesome. Just really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much. 5-time champion.
Of course. It's a pleasure as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much. See ya.
Bye.
I'll have to buy you a coffee next time we're in Henderson, Nevada. How's that?
That sounds perfect.
I'll meet you down at Green Valley Ranch. My mother-in-law lives right around the corner from there. What is it? The Station? Is that what it's called? No. The district.
The District. Yep. Yeah. I love that place.
Yes. I'll buy you a coffee at the District. How's that?
Perfect. I'll see you there.
All right. Thanks, Nikki.
You're welcome. Bye.